Pastor Jeff shares the often painful but unavoidable truth about the Christian and trials. That's on today's edition of Sound Doctrine, starting now.
The warfare within and without, not just within or not just without, both coming down. Do you ever feel that way? Gosh, it's in my family, it's in the world, and it's, you know, now I'm having warfare in my own mind. I got anxiety. I'm starting to feel, you know, afraid, and, you know, there's warfare. And that's part of being a Christian.
Discerning the thoughts and the intents of my heart, Lord, give me understanding. Open your word to life, the cure.
The climate for being a Christian in America has grown increasingly cold. The world is no friend to the believer. Yet Jesus warned us that if the world hated him, it will hate us as well. Yet in spite of all that, the believer walks with a hope and a love that comes from God's Spirit dwelling in us and God's call to us. Pastor Jeff says even more intense was the atmosphere of rejection that Stephen experienced in Acts. Yet for all that, he knew God's hope even as he experienced suffering. With our final episode called To Walk With God, let's turn to Acts chapter 6 for our time in Sound Doctrine.
Plans to improve and correct my soul. Plans to transform and make me whole. Lord, your word is truth. Give me understanding.
And Peter said to the rest of them, men and brethren, they asked the question, what should we do? And he says, you need to repent and be baptized. They were stuck with that point of the gospel. I mean, it sticks you, man. All of a sudden, you get it. Jesus died for me, and I haven't even received him. I don't even know him. And all of a sudden, you know, you wake up to the reality of that. The word pierces, overwhelmed with the word. Remember what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. This is in Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit of the joints and the marrow. It goes deep and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He busts you right where you're at, and that's your heart. If your heart is dark, his light begins to pierce your heart. And you begin to see Jesus is the truth. There is no other truth. He's the life. He's the way. There's no other way. He's one way. And the only reason I'm going to get my, if there is a reason that I'm going to get my life together and I'm going to have a changed life, it's going to be because of Jesus Christ, period. And no one else can do that. No one. In 2 Timothy 3:12, listen, let the deacons, nope, that's not it, 2 Timothy. We already hit that one, right? He says, yea, and all that will live godly, this is a promise, in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Was Stephen living godly? Yes. Was he walking with God? Yes. Was he doing great things for God? Yes. Did you think that he might have thought about that? Oh, yeah. Because we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. We're not ignorant of what he does if we're going to serve the Lord. Now, what he's coming into, what Stephen's coming into, is the fellowship of his suffering. Look at verse 11, Acts 6:11. And they suborned, or they were bribed, they brought in men that were bribed men, which said, we have heard this Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Because, you know, they knew that that would strike a chord in the council's eyes, because, oh, it's all about Moses. It's all about God. No, it's not. There's one coming greater than Moses who's going to deliver the people for spiritually. Moses was a type of Christ in the Old Testament, delivered them physically. But Jesus is coming, one like Moses. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, Stephen, and caught him and brought him to the council. I mean, they wanted to kill him. They were so upset. And they set up false witnesses, liars, which said, "This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." See, everything to them was the temple and the law, you know. They were so religious. They were so bound with their religion. So because of the Holy Spirit's conviction and how he outgunned them, I mean, he blasted them, both barrels, as he was talking to them. He gave it to them, the wisdom of the Lord, the wisdom of the scriptures. It pierced their hearts. It hurt them. And that, so they sought to destroy him, just like they sought to destroy Jesus. Because what he said pierced their hearts. But that's what the scripture does. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It doesn't go out void either. When we share it with people, it goes out to accomplish that which pleases God. Why? Because it's piercing. And we leave sometimes the seed with the person. And somebody else comes and waters it, right? And God brings the increase. So giving the word out is powerful. So the lies and the false testimony and witnesses. Jezebel, remember, tried to do a number on Naboth. And she finally did, because she hired guys to go ahead and badmouth him and say this, that, and the other. And then they killed him. And why? Because her husband, Ahab, wanted that property there to be for his little garden. He wanted to take Naboth's. This is over in 1 Kings 21. You want to read the story. And he was angry because Naboth, when he asked him, "Naboth, I'm your king. I want you to give me your property, your inheritance. I want you to give it to me because I want to make it in my garden." And Naboth said, "I can't do that. Sorry, king. I mean, this is going to be my inheritance. I'm handing down to my children. This is all I have to give to them. This is theirs. I'm not going to do it." "No, you can't have it." "Oh, how can you say that? I'm the king." And she started to cry, and he ran home. And he told Jezebel, "Jezebel, he won't give it to me." Oh, man. "Ahab, listen, I'll take care of it. You're going to get the land. Don't worry about it." And she did her little Jezebel thing and put out the lie and got Naboth killed. And they took the land. Just like they did with Jesus. You know, lies. Now, up to this point, outsiders that were looking at the church in Jerusalem were saying pretty good things. I mean, they had an outlook on what was going on in Jerusalem as, "Oh, those are people, they're doing some kind of sect. It's a Jesus people thing, and they're just about Jesus, and they're harmless, you know." And that's what was going around at that time. Now, if you look over in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 47, it says these guys were going around praising God, having favor with what? It says all the people. They had favor with everybody. Oh, isn't that great? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I just want everybody to love. And they were having favor with all the people, and everybody loved one another, it looked like. And the Lord added daily to the church who should be saved. And then over in chapter 5 of Acts and verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "And of the rest does no man join himself to them, and the people magnified them." Whoa! The people were just saying, "These are good people. They're cool. They're all right." They magnify. They serve a God, whoever their God is, and they're good. They're good. But here on out, starting with Stephen, public resistance and opposition with persecution is on from here on out. Why? Because the gospel's getting out. Because there's no restriction now, and God's people are starting to move out. They're leaving Jerusalem. People are actually, God's going to drive them out, because this good news that's changing thousands of lives needs to get out to the world. But along with that came the incredible persecution, the warfare within and without. Not just within or not just without, both coming down. Do you ever feel that way? Gosh, in my family. It's in the world, and it's now I'm having warfare in my own mind. I got anxiety. I'm starting to feel afraid, and there's warfare, and that's part of being a Christian. Remember with Jesus, what they did to him. They crucified him. They crucified him. I mean, if they crucified our Lord, what are they going to do with us? They're going to persecute us. If you live godly, if you walk with God, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to have warfare. Hopefully you understand that. And you're able to understand how to put on the whole armor of God and to bring every thought into captivity of Jesus and to use the scripture to stand on God's truths and not on the lies that you're receiving in your mind from the devil, trying to drive you nuts, trying to keep you on your back, you can't do nothing, man. You're evil, and it just starts to condemn you for your sin. He starts to give you a little colorful, nice picture book with all your sins in it, and you're just looking at them all the time, and he's going, such a sinner. I can't serve God. And the devil's going, yeah, you're right, man. You're low life. And he gets on you. And he won't let go. Well, you just say, no, my Jesus bled on the cross for me to free me from your lies. I am free. And I am no longer in captivity because his blood covers me. And you stand on the word. So the Jews, they're jealous. The Jews are jealous for the law. Stephen is sharing the scriptures, and as he's sharing the scriptures, I think he's sharing like what Christ is now. He's over the law. He's in charge, and he's large. He saves by grace. It's no longer law. The law's out, man. Oh, the law is good because the law showed me I'm a sinner and I've fallen short of the glory of God. Oh, the law is good. But I no longer live under the law. I live under grace now. God loves me. It's not I'm under the law and I have to do this and I have to do that. No, I'm free to do whatever. He freed me. It's amazing grace now that saved a wretch like me and continues. I stand in his righteousness alone. That's it. Devil can't mess with that. So our bodies are temples of God. Stephen is about ready to receive the same spiritual blindness and curse on the religious tradition versus that true relationship. I mean, people don't need religion. That'll kill you. It's just man's doing his best to reach God. No, no, no. A relationship is when God reaches down to me and lifts me up as I repent, as I confess I'm a sinner. That's relationship. He saved me. He's saving me. He will come and truly deliver me and save me. So the enemy was using half-truths, taking it out of context. It's called fake news. Warning. I mean, the warning is that the grapevine is rotten. You know, what you hear. Listen, don't believe everything you hear. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love believes all things until proven otherwise. But this is really something that's getting Stephen into real hot water. The envy and the jealousy, it creates a smear campaign. And we see it today. It's everywhere. The envious, the jealousy. And finally, verse 15, check it out, of Acts 6. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on Stephen, saw his face. It had been the face of an angel. So far, Stephen has experienced the fellowship of God's flow of his spirit and walking with God. I mean, he's experienced that. Now he's about to experience the fellowship of his suffering. You mean there's suffering when you're a Christian? Everybody suffers. But when you suffer as a Christian, it's a lot different than those that are suffering in this world without Christ. They have no hope, you see. We have hope. We have the healing touch of our Savior. We have a God who heals today as he did yesterday, and he will continue to be the same. So we believe God. And sometimes we get in the hospital, we get sick or whatever, and man, we just turn towards the Lord, and the Lord gets us right out of there. They've proven it over and over again. Those that have faith, those that look to their God, get out. Those that are without hope, they stay in a lot longer, and some of them don't ever get out. That's just the way it is. They've done surveys on that. Now, through his testimony, he's experiencing now, in verse 15, the fellowship of Christ's triumph. Here's Stephen, in the midst of lies, in the midst of being, you know, taunted, and he's in trouble, and he knows it. He just lights up right in front of them. He just kind of looks at them. And his face was as an angel's. I love that part. No words needed. His face aglow as an angel's. His countenance was radiant. There was no anger. There was no threatening. Just as Jesus, he didn't threaten. He hung there. He didn't threaten anybody. He didn't revile them as they reviled him. But he trusted in God. And that's exactly what Stephen is doing. He's just following his Lord's move. There's purity here. There's no fear here. Look over at chapter 7, verse 55. In Acts chapter 7, 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He was walking with so close with the Lord, he just looked up and he saw it all, man. He had the vision that it was needed at the time. Over in Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher and a teacher. And he had his students many times together, and he would tell them this. He'd say, "Men, listen to me. When you speak about heaven, let there always be a glow on your face and a gleam in your eye and a grin on your lips. But when you teach on hell, your normal face will do." You know, wah, wah. But hell, it's real, man. But heaven, wow. Stephen had a glow, a gleam, a grin. He had no fear. He had no anger. He didn't have an attitude. Up to the very moment that they stoned him, notice chapter 7, verse 60. It says, he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Does that remind you of anything? When Jesus was on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Their head and heart is in another place. They're being tortured. He's being hit with rocks, and they're big rocks. And his body's being torn. And he has this prayer, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." They don't know what they're doing. Over in 1 Peter is where we see Jesus sharing, and Peter reveals it in verse, this is 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "And even hereunto were you called," he says to all of us today, "because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." Well, his steps led to the cross. Well, just follow those steps. What are you talking about? "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He was sinless. And look what they did to him. And then verse 23 says, "Who when he was reviled," he didn't revile. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. "But he committed himself to him that judges righteously." He just looked to the Lord and said, "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he bowed his head and he gave up the Spirit. He dismissed his own spirit. When we finally repent, when we finally confess our sin to him, that logjam, that restrictor is removed. And God begins to fill us with his Holy Spirit, and the flow begins to come out of our lives. And that flow is talked about in John's Gospel in chapter 7. Listen to what happened with Jesus in the last day. This is John 7:37. In the last day of the feast, the great day, the feast day, Jesus stood up and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, his innermost being, shall flow, gush, rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And so we're those who have followed, who believed on him, and who have received the Holy Spirit. Hopefully you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. If not, we're going to pray for you tonight that God will baptize you in his Spirit. The end is when we end up in his presence, in fullness of joy, in fellowship with God, walking with the Lord, full of faith, full of wisdom, and of the Holy Spirit, a new strength. Even in our suffering, even in the midst of our suffering, he's there. And we're there calling out on him. A flow of his love and power in and through our lives. Ezekiel found himself flowing in it. Ezekiel chapter 47, it talks about how he saw the Lord, and he goes through this whole thing. It's just beautiful. And he ends up swimming in the presence of the Lord. It's all the way up to his neck. He's swimming in it. Lord, give us that bath of your Spirit. And then I thought of, if we're talking about walking with the Lord, I thought about Noah. Remember, Noah walked with the Lord, and what happened? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace. I want grace. I want to walk with God. I want to find grace in my life. I want to give grace. And then, remember Enoch. He walked with God, and what happened? Boing, he's gone. God just said, "You're walking way close to my house than your house. Come home." One of these days, we're going home. Whether it's the rapture of the church, and we're all going up together, or maybe the Lord's going to take us individually when you get that time comes. But oh man, to walk with God and to be blessed, to be taken, to go home, to be with the Lord, there is nothing more sweeter than that.
Pastor Jeff reminding us that the Christian life may be simple, but not easy. The path that God marked out for us to walk is often one where we follow the cross that leads us to Jesus as our example. And God wants us to walk with him in the same fullness of his Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit is overflowing from our lives to those around us. May God encourage us as we each cultivate our walk with him. And as the Lord's encouraged you in our time in the Word today, and maybe you'd like to have your own copy of the study, you can give us a call at 1-800-353-7555. When you do, please make mention of the study, which is To Walk with God. Also include the study number, which is 17318. Or if you'd like to go online, you can purchase this study from our radio website. The web address is sounddoctrineradio.org. And these studies are available for a suggested donation of $5, which includes shipping and handling. We'd also invite you to take a look at our Sound Doctrine Radio website for a multitude of other studies and study aids in your time in the Word. From Genesis to Revelation, chapter by chapter, Pastor Jeff has been sharing God's Word in length and depth. There at sounddoctrineradio.com, he also offers a broad range of topical studies for everything we experience in the Christian life, marriage and the family, spiritual warfare, and so much more. That web address is sounddoctrineradio.org. Sound Doctrine is a ministry of Calvary Chapel of Downey. It's supported by generous listeners like you. If you'd like to be a part of this outreach ministry touching lives for the kingdom, go to sounddoctrineradio.org and click on the donate button. When you do, God will use your resources to further God's kingdom and making disciples through sound doctrine. Are you ready for the rapture? One day, millions of people, young and old, are going to be snatched up into the air to join Jesus Christ in heaven. So who's going? What will happen on earth after the rapture? Join Pastor Chuck Smith as he expounds upon the scriptures detailing the rapture of the church and the great tribulation. God has given signs to us that would precede the coming of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest indications is the reestablishment of the nation Israel. See for yourself what the Bible says about the rapture and what every Christian should be doing in anticipation for that great and awesome day. The Rapture, Are You Ready? By Pastor Chuck Smith is available for a suggested donation of $6, which includes shipping and handling from Sound Doctrine. May your life be transformed by the Holy Spirit as your heart and mind is built on Sound Doctrine.
But your word is truth, give me understanding, give me understanding.